there's a long process that needs to take place. I look at the slide that my dear sister just represented to us. There are other things that I've also picked up. I know I was one of the people that were asking about the maths and science, and now we have a report that it has been implemented in which schools. Promote the learning of maths and science at adopted schools. Which schools are those? Because it's a process to identify the schools as to which ones will be capable. You can't just wake up in the morning and do all those things and then you implement. Another one, promote built environment careers in rural and township areas. Which rural areas, which townships? Because these are things we spoke about in October, and then we come back in February, we are told that they have been implemented. So let's not come and report for the sake of reporting. We've got serious things that were raised on the 23rd. Procurement policies, I don't see anything on it. Maybe it was said in between. 30% of the tenders are for public, 70% is for private. I don't see anything being said. Big firms are being exposed and the smaller ones, the novice people. What are we saying about those people that are already in the industry? I thought we'll sit here and be told, these are the challenges, this is what we are going to do as the CBE. We said that we need to roll it into the BEE, the seven areas. I don't see anything about that. There's a lot of things that were raised in the meeting on the 23rd of October, which I don't see being raised here. And then also the issue of slow growth in female engineers. And then still the issue of deregistration of some of the candidates. We are just being given stats here, stats and stats and stats. I thought when we raise these challenges, we are going to be given a proper program of action of implementation as to how are we going to deal with all of these things that were raised back there. When you say a progress report, which means there's an improvement, which means that you've dealt with the challenges, which means that your intervention, your report should be on the intervention, your program of action as to actually, what are you going to do about the things that were raised in October? I don't see certain things. It's like a report was written for the sake of, we are going to meet with the committee, let's do these things and get it done. Promote learners, expose learners to job shadowing to attract them to build environment. These are things that we have been told that they have been implemented. And these are things that were raised in October. And then 3 months down the line, these things have been... Can we be realistic when we come to this committee, please? We are playing with the lives of graduates here. Some of them are sitting at home. Can we be taken serious for once that a report must not be something in black and white? We want something concrete that we can go out there and say, this is what CBE is saying about you, and this is what's going to happen. Nothing. We've got something on paper, but I don't think, if I can say, let's organize Chairperson that we must go to these schools in the rural areas where this implementation has been done at our own expense. If we will be given the list of those schools and then I decide over the weekend that I'm going to those schools, I ask myself, what is written here? Is it really what's happening out there? So it's very alarming to get such a report within 5 months. Whereas we know that we can't even establish a proper board to help the CBE to run. but we are very fast to implement things, whereas we don't even have a board, which we are still struggling to have a proper board to run. But 4 months down the line, that all of the challenges have been addressed. Let's not play here. This is crucial, this is serious. This is heartbreaking to see graduates standing on the road with their graduation gowns and their qualifications. Abanye selling amagwinya and arch wearing their gowns. And then we are told 4 months down the line certain things have been implemented. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. I think mine is just two issues or two questions. We've been told that there's been a transformational indaba that was held, but I haven't heard in detail what the outcomes of that transformational indaba are. So if that could be unpacked, what are the outcomes of that transformational indaba? Second, Chair, on page 24, slide with regards to the challenges in execution of the mandate. I think by the department's own admission, and my colleague has picked up on this before me, with regards to our graduates, it is indicated that a number of graduates do not have mentors. It's there. So what are the plans put in place to ensure that we don't have graduates falling through the cracks? If we are finding that graduates do not have mentors. And while we appreciate also the slide that presented the skills pipeline in terms of what graduates need to be done, so there are two issues there. One, graduates do not have mentors, and secondly, is that the different government departments have not assisted graduates with vocational training. So a second indictment. So one is the aspect of mentorship, and the other is government departments appear to be failing graduates with vocational training. So despite the fact that we have the skills pipeline, which indicates that they are getting the necessary training, but here's an admission which says that the opposite appears to be true. She also appreciate the fact that there is the bursaries and that are given to students, but the challenge is once they've graduated, the attrition rate in terms of those coming into the system, we seem to have quite a... We seem to have quite a...
Government departments. We cannot be sitting here month after month and year after year failing our graduates with regards to the transformation process. That has to be addressed. Whether we do it in terms of legal impediments that we've got to look at, legal requirements involving the different departments, this is perhaps an avenue that we need to look at. But having said that, Chair, I also think that transformation, when it does take place, should not take place just for the sake of transformation, without looking at the requisite skills and expertise and competence required for good governance. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'll start commenting on the 2020-2021 targets. In hindsight, Chairperson, I just looked at the figures, and I just wanna point one thing: that can you look into the provinces in terms of the demographics? KZN is too big. And can the numbers speak to the sizes, population, etc. I also want Chairperson to appreciate the fact that In our previous, was it a workshop when we were briefing, we did indicate the issue of CBE and other stakeholders or even the department working in silos in some of the programs and projects. And for me, the issue of collaborative forums or working groups, I think it's a good answer. It's a positive answer, and would like to see more of the programs that will come out of this. But I think this will assist in speeding up the process of transformation and implementation of the things that we expect to be implemented. The resolutions of the Indaba, in most cases, some of the Indabas that are always happening, you would not see the resolution, don't see the light of the day. But I would love to see, if this is where this is part of the program, is tying the resolutions. For instance, let me make an example. If you would say, according to resolution number one, this is what we are doing, it will benefit, because we are not in Indaba, but I'm sure that it creates the excitement of wanting to know how you follow your resolutions. But the fact that you have the set of resolutions and how you anticipate to put the program in place according to those resolutions. I'm curious, because we CEO, we had wished to attend, but we did not attend. But nevertheless, it's your resolutions. As long as you stick to them, as long as you put the program in place. The issue of bursaries. Maybe, I don't know whether maybe it will be in future or what will happen. I'm just thinking here, and I'm representing KZN, and I'm wondering, where are these bursaries? Are they with the Department of Education? Are they with the Office of the Premier? Where are they? So that when one engage at the level of the province, one would know where to talk and just even to have the information around this issue. For me, Chairperson, I really appreciate that whatever that we have discussed, at least there is a step forward. But I'm mindful of the fact that we are moving towards the end of the financial year. And also, I wouldn't really appreciate when you take resolutions but you don't move with the necessary speed, and then you let us anticipate the under expenditure. That would be a sad day. I think anyone should accelerate the speed. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'll just I won't echo the same sentiments as the previous members. Safe to say that in terms of the also value the or welcome the transformation collaborative forums that has been established, but in terms of the resolutions that has been taken, I just need to know if there is a proper tracking mechanism in terms of time frames that's been attached, and then when monitor the implementation of those resolutions, then you can match it against the time frames that has been attached. So if we can just give some clarification there. Then also, Chairperson, in terms of the the targets that has been set, When I look at the presentation, I see the current stats on beneficiaries participating in public work sector skilled pipeline interventions as at 31st of January 2020. And then I see the next slide, which indicates the targets. And when I, for instance, look at the school's program, I see the exact stats there is the same as the target underneath. And the target is for 2020-2021. So I'm not sure if you've already reached the target as of the 31st of January that's set for the whole financial year, the whole year of 2021. So if I can just get some clarification in terms of that. And also, I also echo the sentiment in terms of the schools program, if we can get the exact schools that has been targeted and where it's been implemented, so that we can also assist in terms of monitoring those implementation, because it's nice to have reports that's been presented, but in practice we won't necessarily know if it's really happening in practice. The issue with regards to getting the graduates registered as professionals. The CDE referred to the monitoring of the workplaces, but now we know that we have government institution, government workplaces, and we also have private workplaces. But we need to have some insight in terms of the detail of the how training at these workplaces will be standardized. And also, this will influence what the monitoring tool would look like. Because currently, what tool is used to ensure that each graduate indeed receives what is entitled to and is going through the same process when you look at private versus public institutions? Because we know in practice we have interns that's in practicing, but if you have a final look into the details, you'll find that some interns are glorified tea girls and boys. They're not actually performing the duties what they're supposed to do to have the correct outcome based objective. And that's why we need to know, Chairperson, from you, from the department and entity, what plans do you have in place and what measures do you have in place to ensure that the standards are indeed being kept? And we need to answers on and more detail on these building blocks of the built environment skills pipeline, because we cannot have a skills pipeline without the private industry indeed playing its role that the industry needs to play. And then, Chairperson, we need to know, do we have access to the legal regime that has a balanced enforcement and incentives in place, because we know that mostly private institutions, they are relying on incentives to promote these kind of initiatives. Then lastly, Chairperson, without going too far, I'm worried because we see currently that as per the slide 24, that one of the challenges we will include that majority of these graduates are not registered in practice. And only at the later stage when they leave government, they seek registration. So if we can get some indication on why they don't see the need to be registered when they're performing duties in government, or are we not properly monitoring or doing something right to ensure that indeed we need proper registration, or we need to enforce this issue of registration even if they are working in the public sector. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. First of all, to whoever provided the diaries, thank you very much. They're very, very nice. Thank you, Chair. You're very, very kind and generous. Well, they're marvellous. Thank you so much. And I haven't bought a diary yet for the year, so I'm super chuffed. Thank you. On slide 7 on page 9, where you have that graph of the skills pipeline, I just wanted to ask a question. with respect to people who are unemployed, so you've got people who are qualified, they maybe lose their jobs, they get retrenched or whatever. Is there anything, is there a safety net in place for those people to help them with their continuous professional development, to help them maybe with their registration fees, so that they can remain accredited or registered with the professional council that they belong to in that intervening period while they're maybe looking for work or something? So is there a safety net in place for those people? And then also, what is the difference between what is provided by the councils and the voluntary associations? In other words, you know, are people getting more out of the voluntary associations than they are out of the councils? Have you done a membership audit to have a look at maybe how many people are on the voluntary council of architects versus the number of people registered on the council for architects, and then try to establish why there's a disparity there and what they're getting out of the one that they're not getting out of the other? That might be quite enlightening just in terms of what could be offered by the council going forward. And then the last thing is, are we doing anything, just to follow on from what Sean asked, Honourable Van Schalkwyk asked, is there any form of incentivization for private companies to take on interns? Are they getting BEE credits? Are they getting tax rebates? Is there any way that we're incentivizing the internship process? Because that might facilitate that going forward. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. The only question that, and it's not so much a question as an observation, as the DPWI, it's our responsibility to ensure that we have accredited professional graduates working in the industry. Why are we not doing anything, or are we doing anything, to make ourselves compliant with our own rules? Because we have a lot of people who are working in government who are not accredited by their various councils. We are breaking our own rules by employing people who are not accredited. What are we doing to make sure that those people become accredited? Thank you.
Thanks, Chair, and greetings to everyone. Chair, I want to start with a contradiction. I want to start with the contradiction coming from the challenges as they've been outlined on page 10. It is said here that there are people working in the department without having registered with the necessary councils. Here I am, as a young person, I think it's a bonus that these departments are employing these people without even registered. I'm raising this because it is the very same presentation that says it's an uphill for you to register. So now if I go study, I want employment, and there should be a barrier. So big up to those departments that are employing our people without registrations. We graduates can't be punished for system failures. Now, what is it that the department is doing, including these councils, to transform the industry such that this registration does not become a challenge? I think that is where these challenges should lead us to. I will have appreciated that the presentation says this is the challenge, this is what we think is the solution into the challenge, because providing a morale of these challenges to us without showing us where you want to land equally, it's a problem. Government can't have a problem in making sure that graduates have mentors. You have the infrastructure budget. Use this infrastructure budget and provide the necessary policies to allow these graduates to have mentors. Unless otherwise, if you are giving us the impression that yourself as government, you are not leading the industry, the private sector is leading the industry, because that is the message that is presented here. One of the challenges was saying black architectural practitioners do not receive work. Who is to be blamed? I thought probably government needs to transform society. And if black practitioners do not receive work, we should give them. Do you expect the private sector to do so? What is it that you have done yourself as government? I think it's bullet number 2, if not 3, which speaks about costly. No. There is a bullet that which speaks about the responsibilities of the councils. Who defines these responsibilities? Lastly, what do you expect us as the portfolio committee to do? Having presented your challenges, what is it that you want us to do to assist you in navigating your way to the promised land? Thanks, Chair.
I think Honorable Mashele was the last one. Can we hand over to you, the department, CEO of CBA?
There are many questions. We'll try to cover as much as possible. My colleagues will also add in that in the area of the specific schools that have been adopted, I think we can submit a list to the committee so that because this program didn't start recently, I think my colleague is going to cover that one as to when did we start with it. It's a process that comes from some years ago. And then the issue of the bursaries as to where are they, they are in DPWI. The bursaries, we advertise them, and then we also encourage those schools to apply. My colleague here is going to capture also the process of application of those bursaries, and then how do we bring them on board, the learners, so that they participate in these bursaries. The issue of incentives for companies that allow intakes in terms of interns and so on, I think this one important question which It's a partnership arrangement that we have with these companies. There are those which volunteer to give us the opportunity to share work with us. There's also a provision, which my colleague should also cover this one, a provision that as and when we provide work for private sector to do work with us, there should be a provision that they should have an intake of young people as learners, so that they must actually undertake their experiential learning. Maybe you can cover on the issue of mentors. I thought we have actually covered the issue of intake of mentors. Maybe just clarify that one, because it's a new matter. I thought that one we have covered the entire scope of mentors who are mentoring young graduates in the department. But you can clarify that one, and my colleague at the back, they will actually add in terms of all those issues that have been raised. There are so many, but it's fine. Just cover them.
Thank you, TG. In terms of the schools program, the program started in 2013. We have all 9 provinces participating. We'll provide the list of the schools that have participated in the past and those that are remaining that are participating. We'll be having a winter camp.